Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Let's put this back a little bit. Everybody can hear? Yeah? Okay, getting the word. Good to see you. So first, I want to thank everybody for coming. I know it's a rainy, busy night, in the middle of Hanukkah, and that's when the art site is, so there's no choice, but it's appreciated. I'm aware that everybody has plans, family plans, and so Joey's here. It's a cover to my mother that people should come and participate in the shiur, so we very much appreciate that. I particularly want to thank Josh Appel, who really put himself out, as he always does, in terms of making the arrangements and the flyer, and also the Mar Makomos, and he and Eitan Kasovitz do all the helping in a very special way, and it's very much appreciated. And I also just want to acknowledge that my brother is here, and it's always special when we can join together for the yard site and in general, and his family members, some of them are here, an extended family, and I just want to greet everybody. Okay, so the topic of today's shiur is the concept of Haneros Halalu Kodeshem, and what that reflects about the miracle of Hanukkah, the celebration of Hanukkah, and also about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Hanukkah. So I'd like to begin with the Masechet Sofrim. This is on page 1. Again, thanks to Josh. Mostly, I'm sure, we'll be on the same page. I have mine that's... you'll tell me if I'm wrong or if I need to... some assistance. But in Masechet Sofrim, we have a braisa that discusses the laws of Chanukah. Ketzim Mevarchim, B'yom Rishon Amadlik Mevarech Gimel, this is the first of the Mar Makomos, V'haroe Shtayim, Amadlik Omer Asher Kiddushanu B'melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzosa V'tzivanu L'hadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, right? And then, Omer Haneros Ha'elu Im Madlikim Anu madlikim al ha-yishuos v'al ha-nisim v'al ha-niflos asher asis al avoseinu al yidei kohanecha ha-kedoshim v'chol shmonas yimei Chanukah, this you see in bold, ha-neros ha-elu kodesh v'ein lanu rishus lehishtamesh bahen ela lir'osan bilvah. So the text is a little bit different than some of us are accustomed to. This, of course, is the song that accompanies Hadlakas Neros, typically, every night of Chanukah, Haneros Halalu Shanachnu Madlikim. So the text is a little bit different. I'm not sure if the song would come out better or worse, if you would go according to this particular text. Maybe we'll discuss that another year, but for now, we'll leave that part of it. But what's fascinating is two things. Number one, it appears that Haneros Halalu is not just a song, but it's something that really should be said. And according to Masechet Sofrim, it should even be integrated, into the Hadlaka. All of that is important. After the text, Kedei Lahodos Shimcha al Niflosecha al Nisecha al Yeshuasecha, we're told, V'omer Baruch Atah Shechiyanu, V'omer Baruch Atah She'asanisim, etc. So the order, of course, is fascinating. You have Hadlaka, then you have the singing of Alanisim. Then you have the singing, correct? Haneros Halalu. And then you have the first night, Shechiyanu, and afterwards what we call the Birchas Haroah. So we're not going to discuss that detail very much. But the very notion that, this accompaniment takes place, before Shechiyanu, and Birchas Haroah is surely significant. For our purposes, what we're really interested in is the formulation here in Masechet Sofrim that the Neros are Kodesh, that somehow we apply the appellation of Kedusha, of sanctity, right, to the Neros. That's not obvious at all, as we'll soon see. And then we're told, obviously connected to it. Ve'ein lanu rishus lehishtamesh b'hem. That's point number two, and probably a reflection of point number one. We're not allowed to use the neiros, exploit them. We're not allowed to use them in an instrumental way. Elo liros b'lbanim. All that we can do is look at them. I don't know if it's a begrudging Ella, or I choose to think that it's a idealistic or an aspirational Ella. It's always better to have an aspirational Ella. So that basically the formulation of Masechet Sofrim is telling us, number one, that these Neiros are Kodesh. That's a very big statement and a somewhat controversial one that I want to zero in on. And number two, that expresses itself in what level of usage would be appropriate. But in number three is also intriguing, this idea that, just as we're supposed to acknowledge its sanctity and therefore avoid improperly, turning it into something functional, but the, alternative, which I think is aspirational, ela lirosam, bilvah, the idea of looking at the neiros, that they are the object of our gazing, that too is very significant. So I want to examine these three elements, and particularly I want to understand the implications of haneiros halalu kodesho. Now the truth is that lest one be a little bit dismissive of the significance of haneiros halalu, family members trickling in, we appreciate. You could say it's a song. Why do we have to be medayik in the song? So, of course, number one, it appears in Masechet Sofrim, that gives it stature. But as I noted earlier, integrating it into the hadlaka seems to be a halacha that's reflected not only in Masechet Sofrim. If Masechet Sofrim says about its own creation that it should be part of the hadlaka, that's one thing. But the Rishonim endorsed it. The Rush reports that the Maharam Rutenberg used to sing Haneiros Halalu, or he said it, I don't know if he sang it. The Tour reports that the Rush recited Haneiros Halalu. There's a whole list of Rishonim who are just jumping on the bandwagon to connect themselves to Haneiros Halalu. And that, of course, is significant in and of itself. More importantly, there are mefarshim, there are poskim, who suggest that just like it sounds like in the presentation in Masechet Sofrim itself, namely that it's not just a song that you sing afterwards because you break out in exuberant joy having performed this particular mitzvah, but that somehow this is actually being integrated inside the hadlaka itself. Well, in our text of Masechet Sofrim, it sounds like there would be lahadlik and then singing haneiros and then shecheyanu and birchas haroeh. So we do it maybe a little bit differently. But the marshal, let me say it this way: Shulchan Aruch paskins that we should recite, this text. That's in Shulchan Aruch Horachaim, Hilchos Chanukah, Tafrei Shayin Vav Siv Dalid, if you look in the Mar Makomos, Achar Shehidlik, Omer, Haneiros Halalu, right, Im Anu Madlikin, Ala Chuos, Ala Nisim, Al Haniflos. Again, the, Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell you typically, other songs that you should sing, to accompany or following a particular mitzvah. According to Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like you should sing it or say it after all the brachos and the hadlaka have been completed. And that is the view of many of the poskim as well. Maimon Mordechai, who I put here also in the Mar Makomos, Mevuar Muchrach, She'ena Omer Haneiros Halalu, Ala Achar Shebirech, Kol HaBrachos, V'chein Anu Noagim U'Pashutu, V'chein Yesh L'Tmoa. However, there are those poskim who are even more enthusiastic about Haneiros Halalu, and that's they who integrated it. And he's a little surprised that the Bach, Shekosav al Dibur Rabbeinu Atur, Bezelashonu Halashon, Mashma Sheomer Kein Kodem, that you don't wait till after the brachos or the hadlaka. And this is also quoted by the Taz in the name of the Marshal. It was a famous tshuva of the Marshal. The Taz in Sifkatan Hey, Rashal Kosav Achar Hadlokas Ner Harishon, Shehu Ikar, the first of the Neros is the Ikar Ner. That's an interesting topic in its own right. Even if you do Mahadrin, or Mahadrin, Minah Mahadrin, so you're lighting multiple Neros, the first Ner is still the Ikar Haner. And therefore, after the first Ner, Yomar Haneros Halalu, the Yigmar Hadlokos, Ba'od Sh'omer Haneros. So what that would mean, according to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, for example, the Ramah says that you should make all brachos over Lasiyasan. That's a big debate among the Rishonim and even the Halacha. People do different things. But the view of the Ramah is you should say Lahadlik and then Shasanisim and on the first night Shechayanu, and only then should you do the Hadlaka. But what you would do is that after you light the first Nair, that's to make all three brachos or all two brachos on the other nights, and then you light the first Nair. And then, as you're lighting the other Neros, depending on which night it is, as you're lighting the others, you break out into this song, Haneros Halo. The Mishnah Berurah, quotes this Taz, and he quotes it approvingly, here in Sif Katan Ches. Acha shehidlik ner arishon, shehu ikar omar neros halalu, v'yigmar hadlaka, v'od shomar haneros, etc. And all this comes from Ad Kan Lishon Rashal, the Marshal. And then he adds, Umikomoko Misha Noe Glomar Aneris Alola Lakar Shahidlik, right? Hakol Nami Shapir Dami quotes that from the In the Name of the Prima Gadim. So there's a controversy, and there are different shitos, each of which is interesting, about what the timing, where exactly you locate the reciting or the singing, of Haneris Alola. But the fact that you, according to Masachet Sofrim and the different iterations of it, according to the Marshal, according to the Bach, again, it's the practice, I think, of most people to do it this way. The fact that you are breaking up the Hadlaka in terms of the Ner, Rishon, which is the Ner HaIkar, and you're singing as you're lighting the other Neros, is surely significant, meaning the reason not to do it would be because it looks like a hefsek. You just made the brachos, whichever brachos you made, and now you're doing the hadlaka. And the mitzvah of mahadrin, mina mahadrin, even if it still acknowledges that the first nair is ikar, which is a question, but even if it does, in the end of the day, it's still part of a single hadlaka, which requires the bracha. The bracha has to be mitzurefes to the total lighting. And therefore, if you're singing, as you're lighting Nair number, two through, whatever the night is, that seems to be problematic. That would seem to disturb, right, the tziruf between the bracha. Typically, we don't interrupt between a bracha and the kiyum mitzvah. So if we're doing that, obviously, the understanding is that this text, Haneiros Halalu, is important, and I've explained it in the past. It's a further way of integrating kind of the hoda'ah and the pirsum anes, into the, albeit after the hadlaka. But obviously, this text is considered to be of sufficient. We're not singing the ma'oz tzur or yevanim nikbitzu alai, even in ma'oz tzur, and we're not singing some other song, which might be appropriate. We're singing Haneros Halalu of Masachet Sofrim. And therefore, if Masachet Sofrim tells us that Haneros Halalu Kodesh Heim, even if that seems to be problematic, as we'll get to in a moment, we should take it very seriously. At least it should inspire us to try to understand it. If it follows up by telling us, that Ein Lanu Rishus Lehishtamesh Bahem isn't just a fact, because there are many facts about Neros Chanukah or mitzvos. And certainly, any fact about Chanukah that simply corresponds to the regular dinim of respecting mitzvos and how you go about implementing them probably doesn't need to be very specifically formulated in Masachet Sofrim. So there's something about Haneros Halalu or Elu Kodesh or Kodeshim about Ein Lanu Rishus Lehishtamesh Bahem. There's something about that that is obviously telling, and as well, the final point, the aspirational Ella, of Ella Lirosa Vilda. And I'd like to take a stab at trying to understand, you know, what that is. To do that, we need to spend some, you know, short amount of time, hopefully, on understanding the halachas itself. What is the prohibition to be mishtamesh b'ner? And is it, in fact, a davar shebekdusha or not? This is a massive topic. We're only going to be able to touch on, you know, some of the Rashi Prakim. There's much more than we'll be able to, you know, investigate. So let's begin with the Gemara. And if you go to the second page of the Maror Makomos for a moment, I'm just going to do this a little bit out of order. Let's say there are a few Gemaras that are very important, but particularly two Gemaras. I'm going to start with the later one, even though I put them, you know, a little bit differently in the text. So the Gemara in Shabbos, and Daf Chaf Aleph Omid Aleph, through Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, this is on page 2, you know, about 2/3 of the way down, or about, starts like 50% of the way down and goes to 2/3 of the way down. This is the Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Omid Aleph to Chaf Aleph Omid Beis. I have it here, Hishtamshus B'ner L'inan Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Omer Abhuna Psilos Ushmanim Sh'omru Chachamim, the wicks and the oil that the Chachamim told you that Ein Madlikim Behem B'Shabbos, that you're not allowed to kindle with them on Shabbos itself, meaning every Shabbos is supposed to light a Ner, Neros Shabbos, Mishum Shalom Bayis, Ein Madlikim Behem B'Chanukah. These oils and these wicks should be avoided on Chanukah as well. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol, whether it be on the Shabbos of Chanukah or on the weekday of Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba, my time with the Rav Huna. Why is that? Kasavar kavsa zakukla, because he holds that if the ner goes out, you know, before it burns the shiur, so then the halacha is that zakukla, you have to rekindle it. Umutar li shtamish la'ori. Oh, it's two things. Number one, if the light goes out, you have to rekindle it. We'll see in a moment. We don't paskin that way, but that's how he paskin. And secondly, mutar lehishtamesh la'ora. You are actually allowed to get benefit. You're allowed to, you know, get functional use out of the ner Chanukah. And consequently, we're worried that if, you know, the psilos or the shmanim, if the wicks or the oil are inferior, so then, you know, it might go out and you won't, you know, reignite it, and that would be a problem. And the fact that tzmutali shtamesh la'ora is a Shabbos problem, because we're worried that since you're allowed to read with it, you're allowed to, you know, employ it in a utilitarian fashion. So we're worried, shemayata, that if the flame is not a steady flame, it's inferior wicks and oil, then we're worried that you'll, you know, forget that it's Shabbos, you know, in the throes of whatever it is that you're, you know, involved in, and you'll accidentally, mistakenly, do a malach. So since it's mutter lishamish la'ora and kavsa zakuk, you should avoid those materials. Rav Chisda amar madlikin b'hen b'chol avalo b'shabbos. He held kavsa ein zakuk la, but still mutter lishamish la'ora, and therefore you can't use it on Shabbos. And then finally, the Gemara quotes the other position. Amar Abzera, Amar Abmasta, Amar Lamar Abzera, Amar Rav, Psilas Ushmanim, Shamru Chachamim, Ein Madlikim Behem B'Shabbos, Madlikim Behem B'Chanukah, Bein B'Chol, Bein B'Shabbos. Actually, even the inferior wicks and oils that you shouldn't use on Shabbos for Ner Shabbos, which is a Ner that you can be Mishtamish Bo, which is supposed to be Mishtamish Bo, it's the point of Shalom Bayis. But when it comes to Neros Chanukah, you could use those inferior wicks and oils. Why? My tamad rav kasavar kavsa ein zokukla. Because if it does go out, right, you don't have to rekindle it, and therefore we're not worried that, you know, it's going to go out and you're, you know, going to be, you know, neglecting the mitzvah. Because it's not neglecting the mitzvah. And also asur lihishtamesh la'ora. It's forbidden to utilize the Ner Chanukah for your own purposes, and therefore there's no problem of shemayate. We're not worried that you're going to be involved in a malacha in one way or another. And then the Gemara goes on very beautifully. Amar Rabbanan Kamei D'Abaya Mishmei D'Rab Yirmiyah Velo Kibla. They said this to Abaya in presence of Abaya, and he wasn't the Kabel. He didn't accept this psak. But then Kiyasi Rabin Amru Rabbanan Tamei Dabai Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the Kibla. And then he said, Amar Izakoi Gamirta Lishmaita Mi Kara. He said, oh, if only I was I had merit, I would have accepted this psak earlier in my career. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Vahagamra. Says the Gemara, Nafkamina Lagirsa the Yannis. That's an interesting point. Anyways, what emerges from this Gemara is that there is a machlokes among the authorities, whether mutar lihishtamesh laora or not. There are two views in the Gemara that say that mutar lihishtamesh laor near Chanukah. We happen to paskin, according to all Rishonim, like the last view in the Gemara, that kavsa in zakukla and asur lihishtamesh laora, although the Gemara doesn't explain, the parameters of this, like what does that mean, lihishtamesh laora? Like, what are you not allowed to do? Is there anything that you are allowed to do? We'll get back to that in a second. But the point is that there's at least a machlokas in the Gemara, whether efshar, whether you're allowed to be mishtamesh laora, or not. Okay. This is one Gemara. An equally important Gemara, if we go back to page one, is the Gemara on the next daf. There the Gemara speaks about, Gemara in Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, says the following. This is Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Bizui Mitzvah. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yudama Rabasi, Asa L'Hartzos Mos Keneged Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to count your fortune, for whatever reason. Maybe you're getting ready to give tzedakah, or you're just, in a good mood, whatever it is. Asa L'Hartzos Mos Keneged Ner Chanukah. Can't use the Chanukah light in order to count your money. Kamrisa kame de Shmuel, Amali, so this is the key line. The chiner k'dusha yeshba? Shmuel said, what's the problem? Why can't you be counting your money to the light of the ner? Right? Does ner have k'dusha? And of course, this is the problem. A second sofrim said, or sang, right in the middle of our hadlaka, according to some, that, Aneiros halalu kodeshen. Okay, but Shmuel in the Gemara is saying, as if it's a davar pashut, the chiner kedusha yeshba. Obviously, he thinks that it's not so simple. It says the Gemara, maskiflor of Yosef, the chidam kedusha yeshba. Instead of the Gemara saying, what are you talking about, yes, Nair has Kedusha. Doesn't seem like that's what the Gemara is saying. Superficially, it doesn't seem that way. Sounds like the Gemara is saying, in Achanami, there's no Kedusha to the Nair. However, the principle that you sometimes must abstain, from, unfettered, use, or the mode of use, at least, that principle is something we find in other contexts as well, even categories of halakha where there is no din of kedusha. Dam, for example, referring to the mitzvah of kisui adam, right, in the aftermath of certain shechitas, is certainly not a davar shebe kedusha. And yet, the tanya of the shafach v'kisa, b'mesha shafach v'kase, shelo yechasena b'regel, you shouldn't do kisui adam with your foot, shelo yehei mitzvos bezuya salav. Says the Gemara, Hachanami Shelo Yehu Mitzvos Bezuyos Alav. So just like Kisui Adam, even though there's no Kedusha, there's a concept of Bizui Mitzvah. When it comes to the Chanukah, even if there is no simple reading of the Gemara, even if there is no Kedusha, there is still a concept of Bizui Mitzvah. Then, of course, even before you get beyond this, it would seem the Pashtus that this Gemara is against Masechet Sofrin, and that there is no Kedusha to the Neiros. Even though there is a limitation in what you're allowed to do with the Nair. Of course, the comparison between Kisui Adam and Nair Chanukah is a little bit problematic. All of the Hemshech of the Gemara here, Shaka Vatari, is really problematic. Because obviously in the case of Kisui Adam, number one, there's a greater bizui in covering it with your foot. Moreover, you're actually coming, contacting, the Chepsa Shal Mitzvah. In the case of Ner Chanukah, you know, and the Rishonim make this point, you know, you're more distant, you're not actually touching the Guf HaNer, you know, reading or even counting your money is not bizui in the same sense that, you know, kicking, you know, dirt on it is. So it seems like an imperfect comparison. And yet, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the only issue in making use of Neiros Chanukah is bizui mitzvah. The Gemara is complicated by its continuous Shaka Vataria. Boy minei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ba'uli stapek minoi sukkah kol shiva. Right, the sukkah has noi, has decorations. And the question is, are you allowed to, you know, get benefit, are you allowed to get utility from noye sukkah al shiva or not? Says the Gemara, amalahu hare amru asal hartzos mos keneged ner Chanukah. So the Gemara compares noi sukkah to ner Chanukah, just like that is prohibited, so this is prohibited. All the Rishonim ask the question, like, that's very strange, because if you look at the Gemara's in sukkah, there seems to be two factors that exist in the context of sukkah, which are not obvious, especially given the tone of this Gemara with respect to Chanukah. Number one, there's a concept of muktza l'mitzvaso, which the Gemara have never established here. Number two, there's a concept of, at least with regard to atzei sukkah, and maybe midrabanan by extension to noye sukkah, a concept of, you know, shehei chal shem shamayim aleihem. There are dinim of the sukkah that are treated almost like they have kedusha, like kadshim, as the dimensions of the mikdash and other of the aron and other things. So all the Rishonim are troubled. What happened to all those Gemara? The Gemara Beitza, the Gemara Sukkah, which speak about muktza l'mitzvaso, which speak about shehei shechal shem shamayim aleihem, and the Rishonim worked very hard to try to maintain this Gemara. The Gemara says, Amrav Yosef, Morid Avram, like, you know, an exclamation, like the Rabbanu, like Rabbanu Sholem, what do you mean? Tani Tanya B'dilotan. The Gemara's exclamation here is not to reject the equation, but to suggest that, you know, the order or deriving sukkah from Ner Chanukah is peculiar. If anything, we have sources about Ner Chanukah. I'm sorry, sources about sukkah. It should be the paradigm for Chanukah. Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah lo Tanya. The Tanya, Sachka kihilchasa, the itra bikramim, the sedinim, hamitsuyarim, tala legozim, afakis, afarsikin, shkedim rimonim, parchithi anavim, atara shal shibalim, yeno shal shmonim the saltos, osar listapik men ad matsayam tabak rishoka. Vim hisna leim, a kolafitna o. Elam Rav Yosef, avuan de kulu da. So the Gemara says you don't learn, you know, sukkah from Chanukah, but you learn everything from Dan. And of course, that increased the questions of the Mefarshim, some Rishonim, some Achronim. You're really comparing Dan to sukkah. Never mind, it's a comparison to Ner Chanukah or Ner Chanukah's, you know, comparison to sukkah. All of this is extremely problematic. Then the Gemara has another Shakla Vataria, the next Mar Malkom. Rabba Mar Ein Madlikin Miner Lener, Shmuel Mar Madlikin, a debate whether or not you can light from one Ner to the other, or if you have, you know, if you're using a, you know, some, either directly from one Ner to the other, or with some, you know, other match or piece of wood, you know, in between. There too, the Gemara discusses, is that considered to be a problem of Bizui Mitzvah or Makkish Mitzvah? You know, what is all that about? And then the Gemara concludes that depends on whether you hold, whether you can do it directly or not. Depends on whether you hold hadlokos mitzvah or hanachos mitzvah. And then the Gemara says that, you know, even if you, whatever you hold, if a person walks with a, the Gemara says, Omar Rabba hadlika b'fnim b'hotziah, if you light inside and then you carry it outside, lo asa klum. The Gemara says, why not? Because you didn't light in the right place. So mishum hachi lo asa klum. But if you hold a nachos mitzvah, what's the problem? Amai lo asa klum. Says the Gemara, hasanami haroa hu omer l'tzorcha hu da'adake. So this is another element. Meaning a person should not even be perceived, he shouldn't be viewed as if the Ner Chanukah isn't l'shem mitzvah. the Ner Hanukkah is something that he's getting utility, you know, that he's getting a use from. And Gemara has this idea also with regard to the need for a shamash. These are all, again, topics that need to be explored more fully. Gemara says you should have an extra ner, so that everybody, it'll be clear to everyone that the Neros Hanukkah themselves are not for the sake of the utility. So even if there's no Iser, his shtamshus, that is very extreme, even if it's only based on Bizui Mitzvah, it's also the phenomenon that the Gemara seems to impose on the Halacha. This is all Nifsak. The Halacha imposes very strict requirements, not only in how you use or how you relate to Neros Hanukkah, but also on the perception that other people have about how you relate to Neros Hanukkah. Gemara speaks about the problem of chashad. Gemara says if a person has, two chatzeros, he should light in each chatzer, because if somebody's walking by, he may, this chatzer, which doesn't have the Neros Hanukkah, he may think that you're not serious or committed to Neros Hanukkah. Therefore, you should, you should light in both places. And it's a whole discussion, with a bracha, without a bracha. There seem to be, in addition to the technical question of whether or not you're allowed to employ Neros Hanukkah for your own purposes, there seems to be a whole other level of halachos, with respect to Hanukkah. The question is, how universal are they, or is this, unusual to Hanukkah? And that is that the perception should be also that your exclusive connection to Neros Hanukkah is lishma, that you're treating it as something, that, is as far as you can imagine from a, utilitarian chefza in any way. And the question in all these things is what? So what emerges from the question of the Shtamshutz is that you have a machlokas in the Gemara with respect to the problem of wicks and oils. There we seem to paskin that there is an Isur l'hishtamesh, and therefore there's a certain consequence, consequential nafkamina with regard to Shabbos on Hanukkah. As far as the other Gemara is concerned, the simple reading of the Gemara is that there is no Kedusha of the Neros, even though there is a concept of Bizui. However, the Shakavatari, as I mentioned, triggered a lot of discussion of the Rishonim and Achronim, because the equation between Dam, Hanukkah, Sukkah, and then the Gemara's Maaseh Sheni, etc., seems to be very problematic. Okay. So how do we justify Haneros Halalu Kodeshein, given the simple reading of the Gemara, which is that the Iser Lishtamesh La'ora, the Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamesh Bahem, is connected only to Bizui Mitzvah? So, first I'd like to discuss what some of the Rishonim say about it, which I think is also consequential, and then I want to just make a suggestion, a broad suggestion. So if you look at the Balamor, this is on page 2, very famous Balamor. The Balamor is, relates to this problem. What is the range, what is the, parameters of the Isser Lishtamesh B'ner, and what is it based on? It says the Balamor, Big Chiddush, Lamanda Amar Asser Lishtamesh La'ora Shal Ner Chanukah. This is on the bottom of page, towards the bottom of page 2. Right, am I still, you'll let me know, Josh, if I'm... Yeah, okay, I think we're pretty much okay. Lebandam Rasali Shtamish La Ora Shonar Khanuk Ola Shonar Khanuka Kola Tashmish Bemashma Afil Tashmish Dimitzva the Tashmish Kedusha. So the Balamor is referring to the Gemara on Chof Aleph, where the Gemara's conclusion was Usurli Shtamish, Baor Haner, with respect to the issue of Shabayata on Shabbos. He says, from that Gemara it would appear that this is a very expansive prohibition. Mishum the kasabar, kiven shem zecher l'neiros l'shemen shel heichal, asuros hein b'hanah kol ikar. That since what triggered the mitzvah of Neiros Hanukkah was the neis that took place in the menorah of the Mikdash, and the menorah of the Mikdash, of course, is Kodesh, therefore we treat Neiros Hanukkah as well as Kodesh, and therefore afilu likro b'sefer v'afilu l'sudas Shabbos u l'sudas Mitzvah, even if we're talking about tashmishim shel mitzvah v'shel kedusha, where there's no bizayon whatsoever, says the Baal HaMor, according to that perspective, there would be a prohibition. What about the second Gemara, which speaks about counting your money or haner? So the Baal HaMor says, "Dafka hartzos mos ukiyotzebo shei tashmish rishus v'shel kol." There, the Gemara speaks about something which seems to be, far more problematic, because there's no counter pressure. There's no reason to be using the ner. There's the first Gemara says osel ishtamesh, and they mean even the shame mitzvah, even the shame davar shebekdusha acher, because it's almost like meila, it's like a kudshin, because ner Chanukah is really patterned after the menorah, and it's a davar shebekdusha. However, you know, if that's the case, then this other mandamar, there's a machlokas about hartzos mos kenegin ner Chanukah, that seems to be like superfluous, obviously kol shekein. So it must be, said the Baal HaMor, this is his kiddush, that really there are two completely different manda amrim in the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Kaf Aleph thinks that Basar Lishtamesh bin Ner, because it has Kedusha, Midrabanan, it's patterned after the menorah itself. And therefore you can't use Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, Dvarim Shel Mitzvah, etc. Can't sit and learn to L'or HaNer, can't do anything like that. However, the second Gemara really holds, says the Baal HaMor, that comment of Shmuel. Shmuel said, what, the Neros have Kedusha? According to the Baal HaMor, the Manda Amar, who we paskin, who seems like we paskin like, on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, would say, yes, it does. But the Sugya on Chaf Beis holds that there is no Kedusha. All there is Bizui Mitzvah. And therefore, if you have a function of Mitzvah, and certainly Kedusha, you could do it L'or HaNer, but to do a Rishus, like the Hartzos Mos, that's prohibited. L'mandam R'asa L'Hartzos Mos, K'negin Archanaka, Dafka Hartzos Mos, U'kibotza Shehi Tashmish Rishus V'shal Kol, K'depirish Taima, Mishum Bizui Mitzvah, L'Tashmish Mitzvah V'tashmish Kedusha, Mutal Ishtamish L'Ora. U'shmul Demetam Ale, Shmul, who asks, V'chiner Kedusha Yeshbo, Lo Sfir L'di Islay Srach Kedusha. He says, yeah, that previous Gemara, I don't agree with that Gemara, that there is Kedusha in Neros Chanukah, Belo Mishum Yisra'ana, and there's no Yisra'ana B'mishtamish La'ora. Belo Havik Haigavna Bizu Mitzvah L'dayte, Belo Medamile L'Kisui Adam, he would say it's not even like Kisui Adam for the reasons that we probably discussed, Kid Medamir of Yosef, Ad B'mishtamish B'gufa Shomer. He would only think, maybe, Baal HaMor is willing to concede, that if you were actually to use the Ner itself, not just the light of the Ner, that would be perhaps comparable to Kisui Adam, and that would be a problem of Bizui Mitzvos. Kamo Machas Adam Berega. Minola di Isla Shua Hachi, is Medayik, and we'll leave it at that. So what emerges, according to the Baal HaMor, is that there are two completely different sugyas. So Masechet Sofrim is actually kind of right, according to the Baal HaMor's reading of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, according to his reading of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Baal HaMor thinks that we paskin like Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, so then Masechet Sofrim is not correct. So we've only half justified Masechet Sofrim according to the Baal HaMor. The Ramban in Lochamos, the next page, strong, I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it will take too long. There are gems in here, of course, as there always are. But the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says this idea that, Hartzoas Adamim, or Aner, is somehow more of a problem than, the idea that Hartzoas Adamim is more of a problem, than, being Mishtamesh, Beguf Aner, L'mitzvah, or L'kedusha, says the Ramban, that's simply wrong. Omer HaKosei, Zav Pirush Bob B'machteres, Aldi Rabbeinu, Ramban has a good sense of humor, so he says it's like, he's undercutting Rabbeinu HaGadol, the Rif, the Pikach Nita Matzilo, part of the humor, Shu Pasa Kedivrei Shneim, the Emes Adavar She'ika Perish HaShmua Pashtu, Dichi Omer Avasi Osir LaHartzos Mos, Rabusa Kamash Malan, Shafilo Hartzos Mos, She'ina Mela Iyun HaKal, Osir. Ramban says it's the opposite. It's not that Hartzos Damim is worse And therefore, even if you think that it's, there's only Bizu Mitzvah, there's Hatzah Zdamim. That's Asur. No, the Kiddush is that even though you don't actually, there's nothing particularly undignified in terms of actually physically contacting or undermining the Nair, but even that is considered to be an Isur Tashmish. Kol Shkein Tashmish Acher, even Bein Shom Mitzvah Shel Kedusha, Ba'afil Shmuel Nami, B'shar Tashmishin, Moda the Asur, Bishun Daro, Omer Letzarcha, Hu Da Adlaka. Fascinating. The Ramban says, you know, everybody agrees you're not allowed to give other people the perception that maybe you're not all in on Neiros Hanukkah, you know, and that maybe you're in it because there's some utility or some, you know, fringe benefit for you. Everybody agrees with that. Apapi, sheyesho ner acher, even when you do have other Neiros, pa'amim adam madlik kama Neiros, bebeso, velo cholak, ela al hartzah samos, sheyena tashmish ala hanabi alma, vishum hochi amar, v'chiner kedusha yeshbo. That's why the Gemara said, what, is there Kedusha? The Chi Mitzvos Dabar Shebekedusha Heim, Kegon Tvilin, Sefer Torah, Tashmishin, Shein Asurim Bahanoz Tashmishin Bakal, the Chi Dam Kedusha Yeshbo, Shalo Yinag Bo, Kamo Sheyirzel, Halo Tashmishay Mitzvah Nizrakin Heim. Ela Apopish Nizrakin, said the Ramban. So the Ramban basically rejects the Balamar. He doesn't think that Neiros Hanukkah are patterned after the menorah, and that they are therefore considered formally a Dabar Shebekedusha. But he does think, as he shows in the continuation, something very remarkable, which we'll pick up on in a second. Halo Tashmishay Mitzvah Nizrakin Heim. It's Tashmishay Mitzvah, not Tashmishay Kedusha. Ela Apapishin Nizrakin Ma'achar Mitzvasan. B'Shas Mitzvasan Noagim Bahem Kedusha Shelo Yehu Mitzvos Bezuyos Alav. Achanami Noagim Bahem Kedvarim Shebikdusha, v'asurim b'tashmishechol b'shas mitzvasan. So the Ramban, who on the surface appears to be saying much less than the Balamar, actually comes up with a very fascinating formulation. The Ramban says there are two categories. There are tashmishe mitzvah and there are tashmishe kedusha. Normally we think of these as, you know, being kirchok, you know, Mizrach, you know, Yamarov almost. Like, they're very different categories and they don't meet. However, says the Ramban, that's a little bit misleading. The difference between Tashmishay Mitzvah and Tashmishay Kedusha is after the mitzvah is complete. After the Chetzah Shel Mitzvah is now obsolete because you can't use it anymore, at that point, that's the basis for the Gemara. If you look on the next page in Masechet Megillah, on page 4, the Gemara says, the second entry from Megillah, Daf Chabad Beis, Tan Rabbanan, Tashmishay Mitzvah Nizrakin, Tashmishay Kedusha Nignazin, Velohein Tashmishay Mitzvah, Sukkah Lulav Shofar Tzitzis, Elein Tashmishay Kedusha, Deluskim Yisparim, Tvilin, Mezuzos, Tikshol Sefer Torah, Nar Tikshol Tvilin, etc. So when the mitzvah is over, Tashmishay Mitzvah Nizrakin, and Tashmishay Kedusha are Nignazin. Says the Ramban, but while the mitzvah is still going on, so you would think, and this is what most Rishonim do think, including the Ran and by most Rishonim, certainly the Rishonim before the Ramban, that whatever prohibition there is to be mishtamesh in the mitzvah is simply a din in Bizui mitzvah. Says the Ramban, it's not really true. The din of Bizui mitzvah itself is the kedushas ha-mitzvah Bizman Asiyas. So according to the Ramban, and this is exactly what the Ramban also says in Masechet Megillah. The Ramban in Megillah is discussing the, I'm not going to read it because it's a little late, the status of Beis HaKnesses. If you look at the Gemara in Megillah, it seems on the one hand you could sell a Beis HaKnesses. Says the Ramban, if you could sell it, then obviously it doesn't have Kedusha Saguv. It doesn't have Kedusha, it must be a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah. But if it's a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah, how come the Gemara says that, you know, that there are certain things you can't do with it, you can't use, you know, the pieces of it. Even if it's broken, as long as you can put it back together, so it's not in the category of, you know, La'achar Mitzvasa, says Ramban, it appears that there are limits, and that there is a status of Kedusha to Beis HaKnesses. So is there Kedusha to Beis HaKnesses, or is it simply Tashmishay Mitzvah? Says the Ramban there, and he quotes, he says, oh, I'll give you the example of Neiros Hanukkah. During The mitzvah, the tashmishei mitzvah, if it's bezuyos, is a violation of the kedusha samitzvah, says Ramban. Therefore, you have the dialectic, what appears to be, you know, only a mitzvah by virtue of nizrakin, as opposed to nignazin, but during, as long as the mitzvah is operative, the chetza shel mitzvah, which is still viable, it's not just a din and bizui mitzvah. Bizui mitzvah is a reflection of kedusha samitzvah. It should be noted, back to this in just a second, that when we speak about mitzvos, right, we actually accentuate, you know, this perspective. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvos av mitzivan. Right? There is a concept related to mitzvos of kedusha. And what Ramban is saying is that every mitzvah has that, and therefore the din bizui mitzvah is itself a reflection of kedusha. According to that perspective, the Ramban in Muchamos in Shabbos and in Chidushim in Megillah, when the author of Masechet Sofrim says Haneros Halalu Kodeshem Ve'im Lahem Rishus Lishtamesh Bahem, not only does it work according to the Baal Amor, according to the Sugya and Daf, you know, Kaf Aleph, but not according to the Sugya and Kaf Beis, but it would actually work according to the Ramban, because according to the Ramban, there is kedusha b'shas asiyas hamitzvah. If there's any time there's bizui mitzvah, then you have also touched on and undercut kedusha samitzvah. The Ran takes a kind of rehabilitation of the position of the Baal Amor. If you look at the Ran, he says, one second, this is on page, one second. Page, the bottom of page 3, Ramban says, Pirish, kol tashmishin apilu tashmishe mitzvah. The kivin sha'al yidei nes, shenasa b'menorah tiknua, asa'u k'menorah. Like the Baal Amor. The Ram says, the menorah, the neros of Hanukkah, are patterned after the menorah in the Mikdash, and therefore, she'ein mishtamshin ba'klal, bim isa deshori lishtamushe, Tashmishei mitzvah b'ner Chanukah, heich madlikin der Chanukah b'Shabbos b'kol hashmanim, harei kishishtamish bo b'suda Shabbos osi latuye. If there was really a heter of ishtamshus, you know, for certain things, if there was a heter ishtamshus l'dvar mitzvah or l'chetza shol kedusha, so it must be, says the Ran, ela vadai, on page 4, k'damaron. It must be that when it comes to neros Chanukah, that they are in fact a chepta shel kedusha. V'hadamar l'kamon also l'hartzos mos k'negin der Chanukah. Lav l'memer de dafka tashmish d'rishus asur. Avol tashmish mitzvah shari. Unlike the Baal Amor, there's no machlokas in the sugyas. When they say hartzos damim, that's not worse. Basically, the Ran combines the Baal Amor and the Ramban, and by putting them both together, he's able to rehabilitate the position of the Baal Amor, and to establish that according to both sugyas, meaning Hartzos Damim, you know, is not worse, Hartzos Damim is less, because you're not Ela Lomar Afilu Ritzui Mos Shu Tashmish Klal Asur, the Zek Shalok Kedivre Haraz Halevi. And by the way, the Ran doesn't like the Ramban's, you know, formulation. That we know because in Megillah, he takes a very strong issue with the perspective of the Ramban. So actually, according to the Ran, Neros Chanukah are patterned after the menorah and the Mikdash. They are not only Chetza Shel Mitzvah, but they are Chetza Shel Kedusha, according to both sugyas. According to the Ran, all things being equal, it would appear that the language of the Masechet Sofrim is perfectly justified. According to the Baal Amor, it's a Machlokas HaSugyos. According to the Ramban, it's justified, but it doesn't appear to be a special din in Neros Chanukah. It appears that any time there's bizui mitzvah in the context of doing a mitzvah, that kind of invokes the kedusha samitzvah, you know, that is part and parcel of every mitzvah, a very important perspective. And therefore, it's correct what Masechet Sofrim says, but Masechet Sofrim appears to be underlining something that is unusual to Hanukkah, so that still remains a little perplexing. Even according to the Balamor in one sugya, according to Ran in the other sugya, it should be noted that this idea that Neiros Chanukah was given the tzura of the menorah and the mikdash in terms of its kedusha is not such a davar pasha. It didn't appeal to the majority of Rishonim based on the evidence, but also because, as we know, it's a very tricky thing to pattern mitzvos after the mikdash. We know that from the Leil HaSeder, you know, the Zecha L'Chagiga and the Zecha L'Korban Pesach. We make many gzeros, Zecha L'Korban, but the idea of giving a mitzvah, especially mitzvah d'Rabbanan, the stature of a mitzvah in the mikdash, is something which is very striking. These Rishonim are suggesting it. Not a simple matter at all. And again, something just to hold on to just for a couple of more minutes, to think about why does that phenomenon exist in Neiros Chanukah? What's the appeal? And of course, the fact that the menorah is different in terms of its physical nature, the lighting of the number of the Neiros, etc. There are enough differences, there are enough that differentiates the menorah of our Neiros Chanukah from the menorah of the Mikdash, that, it makes at least, reflect on why, when it comes to the Ein Lanu Rishus L'Hishtamesh Bahem, Dafka, the pattern of the Mikdash was employed, meaning that this was extricated from the regular din of Tashmishei Mitzvah, even Tashmishei Mitzvah's status d'oraisa, and was given like a higher level of Kedusha. Another reflection of all this, before I get to what I think is really going on here, at least for a second, is in the actual question of how you dispose of shemen and ner and psilos of Chanukah after the mitzvah. So far we've been discussing the ein lanu rishus l'hishtamesh bahem during the mitzvah. What about after the mitzvah? So if you look at the riff on the sugyan chabbeis amin aleph, and chabbala fomin aleph, I should say, and chabbala fomin beis, the riff says, listen, we paskin that you're not allowed to mishtamish with the ner. Then the Gemara goes on to say, well, we also paskin kavsa ein zakukla, meaning if it goes out, you don't have to relight it. The Gemara says, well, what about the fact that there's a shir atchatech l'maregel min hashuk? Says the Gemara, yeah, I mean, if it goes out by accident, that's one thing. Tichel regel min hashuk is to tell you how long you have to, you have until this amount of time to start the hadlaka, or that's when the hadlaka ends, and etc. Says the Rif, if you're mechabe the neros after the zman, it's burnt the full time, you're allowed to be mechabe and you're allowed to use the shemen. There's no problem in using the shemen after the mitzvah. This, however, in sharp contrast to the famous view of the Gaonim. So if you look here on page 5, I have it as the quoted from the Abu Dram, it's also Psikta. It's discussed in all the Rishonim. The Kasa B'Shilta Strabachai, Ner Chanukah Shehoser B'Shemen, Ner Chanukah, which is an abundance of Shemen, Ma'u Tzorech La, what are you going to do with it? Toshma. So in Rabbanon, Ner Chanukah Shehoser Shemen B'Yom Rishon, Mosef Alev Amadlik B'Yom Beis. B'Yom Beis, Mosef Amadlik B'Yom Gimel. V'chein B'Shar Hayam. Avalim Hoser B'Yom Shmini, Osa Medura V'Sarfo B'Fnei Atzmo, Kibin Shehoksa L'Mitzvah, Osa L'Nishtamish, V'chein Kasva Adon. So this view of the Gaonim is that whenever you have extra shemen, what you should do is you have to use it l'mitzvah. You can't just use it for your own function. Against the Rif. So if you look at continuation, some of the Gaonim ask this question. V'hikshu Rav Rabbeinu Gershom, Rav Shlomo, ha'kaimelon tashmishei mitzvah nizrakim. That's the Gemara in Megillah. If you're talking about tashmishei kedusha, then you have to dispose of it even after the mitzvah is over through Gneiza. But if we're talking about Tashmishei Mitzvah, so it's Nizrakim, so why do you have to burn it with a Madura B'fnei Atzma? So they give two answers. First answer, Tiritz, Ahani Milikivon Tashmishei Shofar, Alula V'kiyotze Shadaito Aleim Acha Mitzvasan, Sherder Shi Sharo Achrechein, Avalhani Ein Daitan Aleim, Kesavar Shi Yisrafu V'shas Mitzvasan. They distinguish between two types of mitzvahs. Really, there are Tashmishei Mitzvah that also required Geniza, if the anticipation was that you would go through the whole thing, that it would be destroyed in the process. If it's something like a shofar, which outlives the mitzvah every year, so then Nizrakin, But if the expectation was that this would, you know, see its glorious end, you know, through the mitzvah itself, then it's not Nizrakin, it's Nigna. That's a very big change. However, the second answer is more intriguing. Inami, Shavinu Rabbanan Kitashmishe Kedusha Mibnei Shu Zecher L'Shem En Shel Hekdesh. Right? Shades of the Balamor, even more the halacha, the perspective of halacha of the Ran. Namely, shiny mitzvahs Chanukah, it's worse, that's worse. Its demands are greater than regular Tashmishe Mitzvah. We treat it like Tashmishe Kedusha. And other of the Rishonim are very troubled by this. They say, like, you know, why should that be? Some of them, Forshim and the Achronim in particular, you know, this is a Din D'Rabbanan. On this Din D'Rabbanan, we're more machmir than a shofar, a lulav, you know, atzei sukkah, and so on. Very, very peculiar. But once again, if you hold this way, then Haneiros Halalu Kodeshet. But then you have to ask, go back, at least ask the question, is it so obvious that this is patterned after the menorah and the mikdash, despite all of the difficulties, you know, that I mentioned before? And if it's not, then what really is going on? Moreover, as I indicated before, in Masechet Sofrim, it sounds like, can't prove it for sure, that there's something unique, there's a chiddush here, it's part of the song, you know, that otherwise would be a hefsek to the hadlaka. Ein lanu rishus lishtamesh bahem, aneiros halalu kodeshein, right? Ela lirosam bilvad. So is the chiddush simply that even though it's a din d'rabbanan, even though it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we treat it, you know, like a daraisa, or we treat it in the pattern, you know, of the menorah? Or is there something more than that? Is it connected to the beginning of the second sofrim, or the end of the second sofrim, which speaks so glowingly about the nes and the miracle? Well, so what I'd like to suggest is that when second sofrim has in mind, I'm not sure if it, you know, it's the Rambam idea during the mitzvah only, or maybe it even extends and explains the view of la'achar mitzvah. Maybe it explains, you know, why there's such an appeal to pattern this after some aspects of the menorah, even though that encounters other issues. But in the end of the day, if we take a step back and we understand, you know, how this mitzvah was and why this mitzvah was formulated as a response to the military victory for sure, but especially the Nes Pachashana, then maybe we can appreciate that Masechet Sofrim says is really important, really even profound, that all of the problems simply accentuate, you know, how critical this idea really is. In the Mefarshim, it's, you know, Rishonim already, and certainly Bali Machshava, you know, already beginning, especially from the 16th century, you know, the Bach and the Marshal, you know, and the Maharal, and following from that. You know, there's a consensus, broadly speaking, that the struggle between Yavan and Klal Yisrael, you know, wasn't about survival. It was a cultural, you know, conflict. And it was about, you know, the very nature of meaning and purpose of life itself. There's a greater appreciation for Yavan in Chazal. There's this perspective, you know, that in contrast to the other three Malchios that, you know, that we speak about in our tradition, you know, that Yavan, in some respects, is the closest to Klal Yisrael, the closest rival. That its intellectual orientation, its focus on
You are muted.
Philosophy. What's that?
You are muted.
I am muted. Okay, one second. Can somebody else help me out here? Oh, I see. I can do that. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that.
You became Thank you. Muted at the beginning of your chiddush.
Oh, okay, I haven't said much yet. So. Right. Greeting my mechutin on the Zoom. I appreciate it. He's always here in one form or another. the ideological, you know, struggle between Yavan and Klal Yisrael is perceived in different ways. You know, for the Maharal, part of it is the story of nature and the miraculous. But certainly it also has the component in the world of the Maharal, and I believe that, you know, this is something that can be developed even much more acutely, and that is that the very concept of purpose, of the mind, of the life of the intellect, you know, all of this is really a kind of emphatic, very intense, you know, debate that went on, you know, during this period. The idea of the miraculous and nature is really symptomatic of, you know, whether your focus in this world is on a material existence, and whether or not the forces of nature or other forces in the world are there, you know, to be invoked, you know, to maximize man's quality of life, very anthropocentric, you know, perspective. In Greek mythology, you know, the gods are, number one, discrete. The concept of Yichud Hashem, you know, is really, you know, not very accepted. But really, they're almost like, you know, exaggerated, you know, humans, both the nature of their competitions, as well as the characterization of their powers. And the idea of life, in many respects, you know, is to manipulate, you know, these various forces, you know, for the, you know, greater pleasure and the greater benefit of man and mankind. The idea of sanctity, of transcendence, is really not a concept which is understood, you know, in Greek thought in the same way. The Ramban himself, when he talks about Aristotle, you know, speaks about Greek philosophy as being an ideology or a belief system in which anything that is not, you know, physically demonstrable is just, you know, sheker. It doesn't exist. The intellect defines everything, and it's well known that the concept of aesthetic is a very important aspect of Greek thought, but it's a celebration of the material, of the physical. Again, it's kind of mobilizing or channeling, you know, what looks like the world of the spirit, you know, for the sake and for the goal of mankind. And therefore, the struggle between Klal Yisrael and Yavam, you know, precisely because there's a certain begrudging, or maybe not even begrudging, respect for the fact that Yavam, you know, was an advanced culture, that the focus on the intellect actually does overlap. The idea of Chachmas Hagoyim Tamim, you know, and yet the tremendous gap between that and Chachmas HaTorah, or Torah Yisrael, all of this is kind of beneath the surface in the various gzeros that Yavon imposed on Klal Yisrael, and in some of the particular struggles. The first focus is on the issue of Kedusha itself. The idea of Kedusha in Jewish terms is not just spirituality. It's the idea that there is physical access through mitzvos that are divinely revealed, that the mechanisms make accessible a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam and spirituality. The Rav used to say that, you know, kadosh, 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 holy, 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 or sanctified, 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 should really be translated transcendent, transcendent, transcendent. The idea of transcendence is the idea that the world is a place in which there is purpose, but that you have to look kind of beyond the surface, and you have to take, you know, the perspective of surrendering to that purpose, right, in order to bond with it, in order to develop, you know, a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. The Maharal, in his essay on the topic of Chanukah, which I think here, discusses two very important themes. One is the idea that the Greeks opposed the very concept of Kedusha, that they went after the Beis HaMikdash and the Heichal, They would have gone after, even the Neros that were protected with the Chosamo of the Kohen Gadol, Nichnas, Lefnai, Belefnim, to the Kodesh HaKadashim, but that they didn't have any access to, by definition. He speaks very beautifully, very compellingly about this Kulturkampf, about the very notion and concept of Kedusha. It doesn't explain in this context what Kedusha means. But I think the idea is this idea of transcendence, meaning the culture of Yavan, believed in powers, but as I say, powers that are mobilized for man's sake to be manipulated, to attain very short-term, and very material benefits. The idea that the physical world can also ineffably link one with a greater purpose, something that is, requires our intellect but is just beyond our intellect, that concept of transcendence is something that was foreign to them. And therefore, it's very possible that the concept of Kedusha particularly became like a central linchpin in appreciating the nes of Chanukah. The Maharal here says something very fascinating. One second. Do I have it here somewhere? What page is it? It's on page... Just one second. What page is the Maharal on?
Page 6?
Yeah. Okay, great. Here it is. So if you go on page 6, I'm just going to skip a few quotes of Brisa, and then he says something very remarkable. Vim Toma. V'chi b'shvil shenasa lehem nes v'hadlaka shalotia b'teila ha'adlaka ha'yikovin Chanukah? They established Chanukah because of a nes that allowed them to maintain a maisa mitzvah? Right? That's unheard of. What typically engenders lahodos lahalel, zeu asher nasa lo nes b'shvil hatzalasa. That's when there's hatzalah, when there's physical survival. V'lo b'shvil shenasa nes lasos mitzvah, ki eina mitzvah hana'a el ha'adam. U'lefi advarim asher b'yarnu lamala, he says it's very tamua, to get pleasure from the mitzvah. Mitzvah slavli honos nifnu. So you're glorifying a nes. There was a nes so that you could fulfill a mitzvah, and that's the nes that we're celebrating. That's totally unprecedented. Says the Maharal, very beautifully, ki, in light of Lufi Advarim, Asher B'yarnu Lamala, about this Kulturkampf about Kedusha, ki kavanas ha'yavanim lebata la Torah v'akdusha shal Yisrael, ki ha'mitzvah lanu hi ha'mala ha'sichli so ha'lokit, u'bevadai bitul Torah hu bitul Yisrael, v'kola olam ha'yabata, ולפיכך נעשה נס במצווה סדלקה, שהיא מצווה אחס ממצווה סתורה, שבו היונים לבטה לתורה ומצווה סלמן ישראל. ומצווה זו עושה גם כן בבית המקדש, אשר כל כבון עשה יוונים לבטה לתורה הסיכליס והקדושה מישראל. בעיקר הקדושה הוא בית המקדש. לפיכך קובו הדלקה סנירו זכר לנס שנעשה להם במצווה סדלקה. The Meiri says that this is just one of many mitzvos, but saving a mitzvah was like saving Torah, saving Kedusha, and as such, that warrants this special holiday. But I would take it a step further. The idea of transcendence, as I described it before, not just spirituality, not just the ability of the Ribbono Shel Olam to intervene in nature and to impose, miracles, something which also, is antithetical, to a pure rationalistic and a pure natural, kind of belief. It's forces and you manipulate them and there's a method to it and so on and so forth. But in addition, the idea that mitzvos, that concrete vehicles, physical things that are measured, the idea that, God la Talmud shemevi li demasa, the idea that taryag mitzvos are the mechanism for inculcating and internalizing values for Klal Yisrael, that very notion that mitzvos play that function, and that therefore they have a certain intrinsic sanctity, they're not betalim if we're talking about mitzvos daraisa, there's a concept of bizui mitzvah, there's a concept of, you know, how you relate to the mitzvah at all phases. This idea was something that was just meaningless to the culture of Greece. Because if everything is intellectually focused, then there can be rituals and symbols, but they're all fundamentally replaceable. The idea that there would be a particular vehicle which would inspire Mesiras Nefesh and which would be perceived as something that is intrinsically sanctified because that too is part of Avodas Hashem and Ritzon Hashem. That is part of the perspective of Kiddush, not just the Beis HaMikdash, and not just the, you know, role of the menorah in particular, but the very idea that mitzvos, and that the mitzvos Shebe Mikdash in particular, that they could convey and that they could be the vehicles for this kind of, quote-unquote, transcendence, that is the ultimate symbol of what the struggle is all about. It's a different perspective on what sanctity is, and in particular, the role of mitzvos, Gadol HaTalmud Shebevi Lidei Maaseh, the idea of Taryag mitzvos as defining Avodas Hashem, Ratzak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos, Es Yisrael Lefika Chivol and Toru mitzvos, Sof Davar HaKol Nishmat, Elokim Yirah, Et Mitzvotav Shemor, that idea is at the fault line between Jewish and Greek thinking. And therefore, expanding significantly upon what the Maharal says, yes, there was a nes, it was to save this particular mitzvah. And there is a holiday, Shevach V'Hodah, and a mitzvah patterned after the saving of the mitzvah, which isn't exactly like the mitzvah, as well. Because the saving of an intrinsic mitzvah, you know, is itself of infinite value. More importantly, it embodies this fault line in the struggle, cultural struggle, in the debate between Yavan and Yisrael. It goes to the heart and core of what mitzvos and what kedusha is all about. Lashkicham torasecha ulahaviram mihukei ritzonecha. So the father of the Avnei Nezer, quoted by his son, suggests that the Greeks had a particular antipathy to the concept of chukim and to the idea of chukei ritzonecha, the idea that there can be mitzvos whose rationale, you know, is not understood. But just to take it a step further, Avnei Nezer suggests that malachim are called Osei Dvar Hashem, Osei Dvaro. Klal Yisrael are called Osei Ritzonu. We say it in the end of the bracha of Hal, right? Osei Ritzonecha. What's the difference between Ratzon and Dvar? So he explains that Osei Dvaro means you to listen to the Dvar Hashem, to have discipline, to obey, to express, you know, to express loyalty, etc. And obviously that's a very high madrega. That's the madrega of Malachim. But Klal Yisrael were made the junior partners, my language now, with Klal Yisrael. Kiddush HaKodesh, the mitzvah of Mila, Shmiras Shabbos, all the kedushos relate also to initiatives that are taken by Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are not just Osei Dvaro, they're Osei Ritzona. And the concept of Chukei Ritzonecha, especially when they're chukim, but the inner logic of halacha, the idea that these are the mechanisms that we use to achieve transcendence, to take physical, accessible vehicles, not just as broad symbols which are replaceable, but where we believe this is a certain intrinsic, you know, investment of sanctity by the Ribbono Shel Olam, or that concretizing, you know, in this way, in a respectful way, where that engenders Chetzo Shel Mitzvah, a certain status of Bizui Mitzvah, even under Rabbanans, that's all part of being Osei Ritzonecha. In this respect, what could be more appropriate than ascribing or assigning to the Mitzvah Drabbanan of Ner Chanukah a certain level of Kedusha? And that's what Masechet Sofrim is telling us. Haneros halalu kodeshim. They are the response to the attack on the concept of Kedusha. They reflect a perspective on Kedusha. Are they also a Chetzah Shel Kedusha as opposed to a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah? That we've demonstrated is a major debate among the Rishonim. But maybe now we can appreciate a little better the view that will tell us that Dafka the Ner Chanukah are given that status. Maybe patterned after the Menorah Shel Mikdash with all of the discrepancies, but maybe for the reason of embodying what was at stake in mitzvos in general and the concept of Kedusha in mitzvos. Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvos of mitzivanu, and more particularly because of the Mesiris Nefesh, which revealed that deep understanding, that profound understanding of what Kedusha is all about. So Aneris Alalu Kodeshein, even if it's not expressed in the way that the Balamor and that the Shiltos and that the Ran, you know, have it, but certainly it more than justifies those specific positions as well. It's fascinating to know that the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos tells us, "Mai Mavarech, what bracha do you make on Ner Chanukah?" And the Gemara says, "Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvosu v'tzivanu lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah." The Gemara says, "The Heichan Tzivanu." I would have been happier if it also said, you know, Heichan, you know, Kidshanu, but you know, you can't have everything. But the Gemara does say, "The Heichan Tzivanu." Where's the tzivui? Says the Gemara, "Rav Yomer Milo Sosur, Rav Nechen Yomer Shal Avicha V'Yagedchas, Kenecha V'Yomer Lach," etc. The famous Gemara. Why? What's the basis of authority for mitzvos d'Rabbanu? Many of the Achronim ask the question: this is the first mitzvah d'Rabbanu? What about Kriyas HaMegillah? And what about, you know, Eruvin? And, you know, maybe Netilas Yadayim? There's a whole slew of mitzvos d'Rabbanu that the Gemara could have asked Heichan Tzivanu. As it happens, you know, the Rambam actually reformulated the Heichan Tzivanu for Hallel. He took it away from Ner Chanukah, which is interesting, in Perek Dalin of Hilchos Chanukah. But that's for another time, or we've spoken about other times. But what's fascinating is, why Dafka Ner Chanukah? So some of the Mefarshim suggest, there are different, you know, iterations of this. Well, you know, some of the others are Mishmeres, L'Mishmarti, they're Siyagim, they're Ke'en Doraisa, Mikra Megillah, Zepakhanas HaNaviim. Ner Chanukah, that's very, you know, unique in that it is, you know, a mitzvah, not a siag, and it's not takanas anaviyim, and it's not kein dorais. Well, is it kein dorais? It depends a little bit on the menorah. But even, I would say, even according to the Balamar and the Ran and the others, it's not really kein a menorah. It's not formulated kein a menorah. In the end of the day, it's a creation of the Rabbanim, and that's why the Chachamim say, where's the Vitzivan? But the answer, of course, is a profound answer. And that is, you know, it's Osei Ritzonecha. There was a deep understanding, you know, that, you know, celebrating, you know, the Nes, you know, that underscored the sanctity in mitzvos, and that was deserving of both a Nes and a holiday, by making a mitzvah which underscores that concept, right? That's Sh'al Avicha V'Yagedcha. It's Kenech V'Yomlach. It's fascinating that in the Psikta, this is on page 6, the Psikta actually integrates these two ideas. I don't know whether intentionally, but I think it's Hashgacha at least, if not intentionally. Yom Hashmini Nasil Ibnei Menashe. It says the Psikta, Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu, Ner Shel Chanukah Shahusir Shem and Ma'u Tzorech Lasosla. What do you do with extra Ner? The same issue we discussed. So the Gemara says, "B'yom Rishon, Bosifal of Shemin Amadli, Yom Sheni, Avalim Hoser, B'yom Shmini, Osim Madura, the Sorfu Bifnei Atzma." Lama, Kibin Shehuksa the Mitzvah, Osir Lishtame Shemena. This is the Psikta, you know, with this controversial Psak that we treat, you know, the leftover Shemen as if it's a Dover Shabikdusha. The same Psikta continues and says, "Lo Yomar Adam, Eini Mekayim Mitzvah Skenim, Hol the Einam Minatorah." Continuation. People shouldn't say, you know, I'm not going to fulfill, you know, I'm a good Jew, but I draw the line at Chanukah. I don't know whether they don't draw the line at Purim, but, well, maybe as we discussed. Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lav B'ni, the Rosh Hashanah is being very paternalistic. Right? Amasai, bikorvenu, bikorbano rather, shall hanasiim. Hikriv Ephraim tchil. A fascinating sekta. We have the right to be metakein ner Chanukah for the same reason that Yaakov Avinu could put Ephraim lifnei Menashe. It's a testament to the concept of Chachmei HaMesorah and to the idea that Klal Yisrael, as osei ritzonecha, as people who are devoted to chukei ritzonecha, are basically junior partners in this process. Because what we're seeking, you know, is not to manipulate forces for our own good. But we're also not, like Malachim, simply passive recipients, you know, who bask in the glory of the Rabbono Shel Olam spirituality. We're also asked to be part of that process. That's why there is an interface between the material and the spiritual in the world of mitzvahs. And the ability of Yaakov Avinu to, on his own, based on his deep understanding of the Rabbono Shel Olam, obviously, and his partnership, to declare that Ephraim takes precedence over Menashe, is the equivalent of the Zakenim, not the Nevi'im, having the ability to create a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But that's even more fascinating in light of the Reisha. Yes, this is a Chefta Shel Mitzvah, which is treated as if it's a Chefta Shel Kedusha. In some respects, patterned after the menorah, while not being patterned after the menorah, as a way of acknowledging that the stakes of maintaining this particular mitzvah is the concept of Kedusha as we understand it to be unique, but that is a linchpin to our existence, and consequently, something which is deserving of a holiday in every respect. And then finally, my time is running up, let me say, you know, one other thing, and that is, Haneros halalu kodeshem, ve'ein lahem, ein lanu reshus lehishtamesh bahem, before I get to the final thing. Even the perception of others, you know, that maybe this ner isn't l'shem mitzvah, but it also has, you know, a benefit. Whether it's the perception of Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonason's understanding of osa l'shamish b'ner, or the requirement of the shamash, or why it is that even according to the Ban Damar, hanacha osa mitzvah, if it looks like you're just walking because you need a lantern, you know, so that you don't bump into things, that you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the perception and the idea of chashad, all these may apply on some level in other mitzvos as well, but that they apply in the mitzvah drabanan of Chanukah, that they apply in some respects more acutely in Chanukah than anywhere else, is all consistent with this perspective, that Chanukah is a celebration of the concept of mitzvos, of the concept of Kedusha as transcendence by means of the vehicles of mitzvos, which we've been trying to describe. And if that's the case, then we could also understand the last line, which is, Ela lirosam bilbad. Not only because ri'iya is a more ethereal, you know, less physical way of relating to something, which it is, there's a lot to say about that, but more to the point, you know, the very concept of there being a ri'iya and a birchas haro'eh, as we know, is something that is singular to Neros Chanukah. The Bali Tosis asks this question, you know, in the Bali Tosis asks the question in Masechet Sukkah, right on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. You have it here on the bottom of page 6. Haroan der Chanukah tzorech levarech b'shar mitzvos kigon alula b'sukkah lo takinu levarech leroeh. You see a nice sukkah, you see a nice lula. They're also aesthetically pleasing. No one's breaking out in bracha, and no one's singing the equivalent of Haneros Halalu either. Elagabe ner Chanukah bishum chavivus hanes. The way the Rambam has it is not respect to birchas haro'eh necessarily, but the next mar makom which we have mitzvah ner Chanukah mitzvah chaviva hi admo. The idea that even those who are bystanders, you know, are important here, they need to participate. But not only that, but that there's a certain shevach and hodah, you know, in this ethereal, you know, aspect is very, very critical, very important. But in addition to that, in addition to chavivus hamitzvah, which is really what Hanukkah is all about, but not in a technical way only, but because chavivus hamitzvah, again, is about this understanding of purpose and meaning and kedusha, transcendent kedusha, in addition to that, there's another factor. And that is that we would have expected, and this is the view of some of the Mefarshim, but, you know, it's 50-50 in terms of the indications, that Birchas HaRoeh be purely a matter of Shevach V'Hodah, and that we treat it as such. And yet, when it comes to Pirsumei Nisa of Ner Chanukah, and when it comes to the Birchas HaRoeh, according to many of the Rishonim, many of the Poskim, it is inextricably tied to the Hadlaka. If you're walking home and you haven't yet lit Ner Chanukah and you see somebody else's menorah, right? According to some Rishonim, you do make a Birchas HaRoeh, but according to most, you do not. You wait till you come home and you make the Bracha and the Hadlaka, and then you say the Birchas HaRoeh. By normal canons of Hilchos Brachos, everybody should agree that the Birchas HaRoeh would follow the lighting. That when you light, you should be saying Hamadlik, lighting, and then engaging in Birchas HaRoeh. And some Rishonim say it. But the Rama paskins that the Birchas HaRoeh, like the Hadlaka, is over Lasiyasa. And even many of those who, you know, don't have it over Lasiyasa, have it either after the first Nair, before the last Nair, etc. On Shabbos, when it's always challenging to light Neiros Chanukah, and at the time of the Hadlaka, you're not yet even fulfilling the Kiyum HaMitzvah, so I've seen the suggestion in some of the Achronim, why wouldn't it be better at least to wait when it comes to the Birchas HaRoeh, when it's this month, when you come home, then you can make a Birchas HaRoeh. But we don't do that. Meaning, in the end of the day, ein lanu reshus ela lishtamesh ela lirosam bilvad. But the re'iya, as important as it is something that celebrates, actually, the Hadlaka. As does Pirsumei Nisa itself. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, we have it here also, there's a debate whether or not Megillas Tainus is batal or not. And then the Gemara says, we paskin that the, you know, Megillas Tainus was a list of different, you know, miracles that took place for which they commemorated with holidays, and at the time of the Churban, Betela Megillas Tainus, they canceled it. Says the Gemara, Masiv Rav Kahana, this is four lines into the Makom here on page 6. Maisa the Gozer Tainus, the Chanukah Balud. They used to, some wanted to be Mevatel Chanukah, the Yorid Rav Elazar Berachatz, Rav Yeshua Besiper. They did things to show that they were keeping Chanukah, even though the rest of Megillas Tainus was batal. But Omer Lahem, they said to them, Tzu v'yis'anu al Masha Esanisa. You shouldn't have fasted on Chanukah. So why is Chanukah different than Megillas Tainus? Fascinating. Omer Rav Yosef, Shaini Chanukah de'ika mitzvah. Chanukah is different than Megillas Tainus because it produced, it says de'ika mitzvah. It produced the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaye, Tibotel I v'tibotel mitzvasa. So what? You'll cancel Chanukah, you'll cancel the mitzvah of Chanukah. Says the Gemara, Lamar Rav Yosef, Shaini Chanukah de Pimfarsim Nisa. So you could have thought that what the Gemara's conclusion was, that yeah, the Hadlaka is nothing, but the Pirsum Aneis, such a Kiddush Hashem, you know, we're not going to cancel that. But that's not how the simple reading of the Gemara is, and that's not how Rashi interpreted it. Rashi says, Kvaru golin l'kol Yisrael al yedei shenogu bo ha-mitzvos, b'kziku bo kishel Torah, v'lo nocha l'vatla. The Pirsumei Nisa isn't the reason it's not batel. The Pirsumei Nisa is part of the characteristic of Hadlaka generates Pirsumei Nisa. Hadlaka, therefore, is something for which Klal Yisrael and Moser Nefesh, and something whose symbol is not nitan l'bitul. We say, Kavsa ein zakukla. If it goes out, it goes out. The Hadlaka should have the potential of Pirsumei Nisa, and part of that potential is because of a profounder understanding of what was at stake, the role of mitzvos, and the formulation of this particular mitzvah for the nace of the mitzvah, and what that says about Asher Kiddushanu, even before you get to Vitzivanu. And consequently, says the Gemara, this is different than all other Megillas Tainis. And therefore, Masechet Sofrim, and the song that we use to interrupt, but not really to interrupt, to integrate into and to give greater meaning and significance to to what it is that we are doing on this special day, all of that emerges as a very powerful and very inspirational kind of a message. It really captures in very dramatic fashion the nature of what mitzvahs Neiros Chanukah is. HaNeiros Halalu Kodeshem Ein Lanu Rishus Lehishtamesh Bahem. Not even the perception when it comes to Chanukah, because that is exactly what Greece and that whole culture was really about, and that is exactly what Neis Chanukah came to eliminate. And consequently, Masechet Sofer really captures it. This is the 13th. This is the 13th anniversary of my mother's Petir. It's the 12th Yahrzeit, and that's already a little bit of time. And I have to say, in discussing this with my brothers and sisters and family members, that my mother's memory is still as vivid as it was. Her impact, on those who she, nurtured and who, were inspired by her and impacted by her, is as great as it was, at that particular time. And of course, that's a testament to the character, the fact that Neiros Chanukah is something which endures and isn't subject to the whims, even of the Korban. The fact that it reflects transcendence, the aspiration for more, and the appreciation of what that implies in terms of meaning of life, those are the things that remain and that continue to be eternal. And therefore, the memory of people who are close to us, who impacted us, and who are nurtured in us and stood for things that we consider to be Dvarim Shebikdusha. Even if we can't always completely define it or put our finger on it, that is enduring as well. My mother's regal presence, her quiet yet fierce integrity, her profound emuna, which was reflected in times of crisis, but also, was present every day, although it radiated in an unselfconscious way, simply from who she was and how she conducted her life. These were very powerful things for us. Unbeknownst to my mother, I've said this in the past, or at least insufficiently appreciated by her, she really had a huge impact, made an indelible impression on people beyond even their ability to articulate it. Just knowing her and being exposed to her, something that impacted them, her students, the community she served as Rebbetzin, broader Jewish community, and of course, and especially, the inner circle of the family where her joy and her, special Simchas Chaim, was something that we experienced. Her Prasume Nisa and her Mesiras Nefesh and Kiddush Hashem really stemmed from the integrity of her Maisa Hadlaka, of her conduct, of her priorities, and of the consistency of her values and her persona. I think it was really all rooted in a certain sense of wonder, like a mystery that she had about existence, about living in the world, about the Rabbonu Shel Olam, an instinct for the transcendent, the ineffable presence of the Rabbonu Shel Olam at the heart of existence. All of that, contributed to her sense of adventure, even her sense of humor, which was very whimsical, the joy she took in experiencing beauty, the mystery of discovery, and as I say, her special sense of Simchas Chaim. All this reflected a certain idealism and a certain optimism about life that I think she wouldn't articulate it this way every day, certainly, but, you know, was her attachment to the concept of transcendence, of Kedusha, subtle but concrete. My mother's idealism was notwithstanding a difficult childhood. She lost a beloved father, really a powerful figure in her life at the age of 12. She had a somewhat lonely upbringing, very accomplished, very high-powered siblings who were almost two decades older and therefore not in the home, a European mother struggling to find the right living and educational frameworks. And yet her sense of optimism and idealism was really impressive. Her nobility of spirit, her light, her joy, all of it made Chanukah, with its theme of Kedusha, and the idea of mitzvos as concrete vehicles for something that is so much more, an appreciation of the intellect and the aesthetic, but also what lies beyond it and what gives it significance. And all of this, of course, makes Chanukah, a certain element of Hashgacha, the perfect time to commemorate her yahrzeit. Yehi zichra baruch, and thank you all for coming.